I'm Daniel. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus. Am I on? All right. I am a grateful believer in Jesus, and I'm experiencing victory over being abusive. So tonight we are studying the lesson on grace, and you should have a handout, and there should be blanks in the handout that we'll be filling in tonight. We have lots of scripture verses tonight, and the great thing about the truth of scripture is that it confronts my faulty thinking. And in recovery, you'll hear people say stinking thinking. So it just means our thoughts get off base, and when we read the truth, it confronts those thoughts, exposes those thoughts, and replaces them with something godly. So we have principle 6 and step 9 that we're going to read. And I think we have a slide. So let's read this together. Evaluate all my relationships, offer forgiveness to those who have hurt me, and make amends for harm I've done to others, except when to do so would harm them or others. Happy are the merciful, Matthew 5:7. Happy are the peacemakers, Matthew 5:9. We made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Therefore, if you're offering your gifts at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Matthew 5:23 and 24. One of the lines that we just read talked about mercy. And tonight we're talking about grace, and very often you'll hear, you know, people in Christianese kind of interchangeably use the phrase mercy and grace. There is a difference between mercy and grace. I was talking to a brother this last week about the difference between mercy and grace. So mercy is exhibited when I do something wrong and I don't get what I deserve. So if I do something wrong, like speeding, and the police does not ticket me, you know, or they choose not to give me a speeding ticket, even though I deserve a speeding ticket, that's mercy. Grace, on the other hand, is something I like to call unmerited favor. And grace is when we get something that we don't deserve. We get something great and fabulous that we don't deserve. As a Christian, I need both mercy and grace in my life. I need it from God, and I need to give that to people that I'm in relationship with. So in these lesson and the principles that we've just read, you have to start asking yourself a question. One of the questions is about forgiveness. When was the last time that you actually told somebody that you're sorry? You know, just everyone think, you know, who is the person and how long ago did you say you were sorry? I was at a church, a different church than Rolling Hills, and we did a something fun for Valentine's Day. I thought, you know, we should do a game. And so we did the marriage game or the dating game, or I'm not sure what that TV show was, but there's couples and you ask them questions. So you ask the guys a question, the women come out and they have to guess what their husband would answer. So we asked a question of the couples, first of the wives. Wives, when was the last time your husband said he was sorry? And honest to God, we had a couple that had been married 30 years, and immediately the woman answered, never. And her answer was correct. The husband, after 30 years, had never said he was sorry. And it just revealed something about that couple. I mean, there was a lot of nervous laughter, but I just saw in capital letters, you know, dysfunction, control, you know, and she must be codependent to put up with that kind of stuff. But it's important to be healthy that when we make a mistake, we have to admit it, you know, to ourselves, to God, and certainly the person that we've hurt. So when was the last time you said you're sorry? When was the last time someone told you they were sorry? You know, you were hurt, and that person came to you and said, you know, I'm sorry. You know, has someone ever approached you recently and said they were sorry? Are you receiving apologies from people? When was the last time you forgave another person? You know, someone did you wrong and you forgave them. How long ago was that? Is that recent? If it's recent, you're healthy. If your answer is years ago or never, then you're in a good place. This is a recovery place. This is where we get to take that character defect, bring it to light, and do something about it. Let me share a story about my own life. When was it? 2004. In 2004, I assaulted one of my sons. He was fighting. I assaulted him to break up the fight, and then I promptly went back to work. The police came to my home and told me that what I had done to him was assault, and then they looked at my wife and they said, are you going to press charges? And, you know, I'd done the crime. I assaulted him. And my wife said, no. I didn't get what I deserved. You know, I deserved jail time or prison time, but I didn't get it. I got a pardon. You know, that was an example of mercy. Later on, my behavior became more selfish and more scary, and I was removed from my home by the police. My wife got a restraining order, and I spent 14 months away from everyone I love the most. You know, during those 14 months, I kept coming to recovery to figure out, well, how'd this happen to me? You know, why did my life do this? And I finally figured out that it was my bad behavior. It was my words, my actions, my attitudes towards other people. I'd been hurting and offending other people. I'd been abusive emotionally, physically, spiritually, and it was hurting the people I love the most. And so I started making amends. And then I got something gracious from God. I got invited back home, and God started taking the broken pieces of my marriage and put them back together. And he started taking the broken pieces of the son that I assaulted and started mending that relationship. On my own, I never could have figured out any of that. Never would have figured that out, how to do that. So I got a big gift from God. I got gracious gift. I got my family back, and I got the relationship with my son back. Do we have a scripture verse, 2 Corinthians 12:9? Let's read this one out loud together. But he said to me, my grace is enough for you. When you are weak, my power is made perfect in you. So I'm very happy to brag about my weaknesses. Then Christ's power can live in me. For this reason, I'm happy when I have weaknesses, insults, hard times, sufferings, and all kinds of troubles for Christ. Because when I am weak, then I am truly strong. 2 Corinthians 12:9 and 10. You know, my natural tendency after I had assaulted my son and gotten kicked out of my home was to blame. You know, honestly, for months I blamed my wife. You know, she's overreacting, you know. She's listening to these other women, you know, in recovery, and they're polluting her mind. And, you know, what I did wasn't that bad. You know, I was totally in denial. I went to a counselor at Good Samaritan Ministries, and after the sixth meeting, the counselor looked at me and said, you know, Daniel, I can't help you. And I go, what? And he goes, I can't help you. And I said, well, why is that? And he goes, because you haven't admitted that you've done anything wrong. So we're just wasting each other's time, so please don't come back. And I said, great, no more counseling, yes. And I told my wife, you know, counselor, just let me go, I'm done. I am done. Yeah. Yeah. So if you're in denial that your behavior, you know, has hurt somebody or that you've been hurt by somebody else, denial is not your friend. Denial is dysfunction. And what we do here in recovery, especially in the small groups that you go to, the open share groups, is we open up and we kind of share what's really happening in our lives and we let it out there and we confess our faults one to another. And Scripture says if we do that, if we confess our faults one to another, he's faithful to heal us. For the prayers of a righteous man accomplishes much. You know, it's a true verse for me, and I've seen so many guys in my men's anger group that their lives, the broken pieces, have been picked up again. Because they're following what the Scripture says, and when they do wrong, they're admitting it, they're making amends, and they're doing something differently. So with grace, you're getting unmerited favor. You're getting something you don't deserve. You know, some of the things as a Christian we get are eternity. We get heaven. We get forgiveness from sin. We get a second chance at life. We get a third chance at life. We get a fourth chance at life. God does not run out of chances for you. You know, if you think you're all out of chances, you're not. You're not. God still has something that he can make good in your life, right as you are today. So on our handouts, the first blank is G, God's gift. Grace is a gift. So in my life, when my wife invited me back into the home and started trusting me more, that was a gift to be back with the ones I loved. I had to say, yes, I accept that. I will be there. Sometimes we can be so hard on ourselves. You know, we can do wrong in our lives, and we can be hard on ourselves. We can be judgmental on ourselves, and we don't want to be forgiven. We want to live in the hurt and the pain and the suffering in our lives. That's not healthy. If someone offers you grace, you should receive it and say thank you. So it's given by God to you and me. Do we have Romans 3:24? Let's read this. All need to be made right with God by his grace, which is a free gift. They need to be made free from sin through Jesus Christ. Romans 3:24. You know, we can have a relationship with God, our Creator. And that relationship with God, our Creator, doesn't depend on our performance. And it doesn't depend on our perfection. So we have to say this is a gift from God. He's going to give me forgiveness. I just have to say I'm sorry. And I have to start making amends to the people I've hurt. You might not feel forgiven. But don't let that stop you. Go ahead and ask forgiveness of people that you've harmed. The great thing about that Bible verse we just read is the word all. You know, both me and you have made mistakes in life. Some mistakes have big consequences, some mistakes have little consequences, but all mistakes, all sin has got a consequence to it. God's able to forgive all sin and is able to restore you to a right relationship with him and with the people that you have harmed. Once you start to understand that God is gracious to you and that's a gift, it'll start affecting your attitude. For me, once I start accepting God's gift of grace and forgiveness, I can develop an attitude of gratitude. You know, in your life, your circumstances might be painful. It might be really unfortunate. You might be going through a really tough time. But I just challenge you at least once a day to thank God for something. You know, even when you go to small group tonight and you get that prayer card, would you please share one thing that you're grateful for? Just one thing. It could be something you're grateful to God or grateful to another person. But just think of something and start to develop a habit of gratitude. That other Bible verse that we just read talks about freedom from sin. Who here wants to be free from sin? Okay, good. I am in the right room. So one of the things we have to do to be free from sin is to accept God's grace for us. So accept that free gift. The R in the blank fill out is for received by our faith. Grace is received by our faith. There should be a verse, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Let's read this one. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not from yourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. That's that verse has a lot of hope in it for me. Because it's God that's doing the saving. It's God that's doing the healing in me. And we might come into a recovery setting and we might identify with what people's issues are, but God knows that we're way more than our issues. You know, when God sees us, he doesn't see our issue. He sees us as completed children of God. He sees us through the eyes of Jesus. And he makes the outrageous claim that we are his children. And I just have to believe that I am a child of God and I have great value to God. And he's got a purpose even for the brokenness and mistakes I've made in my life. So God gave me salvation instead of judgment and condemnation. You know, I can read these Bible verses about grace and about what God's giving me and believe it in my head. But eventually, if you want to be well in your recovery, you have to feel it in your heart. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So you're all here tonight, and you're hearing the Word of God, and it will start to give you some freedom and some healing in your life. So I can just read the Bible verses, I can believe it in my mind, I can start to apply it in my life. And then I can start to trust on it, and I can start to depend on it, and I can start to look forward to the truth of God. When I do that, I'm putting my trust in God, and he's really going to change me. He's really going to give me healing. The A in the handout is for accepted by God's love. We have a Bible verse, Romans 5, 8. Is that right, or am I out of sync here? Well, let's read this one, Hebrews 4:16. Let us then feel very sure that we can come before God's throne where there is grace. There we can receive mercy and grace to help us when we need it. Great thing I like about that is it has both mercy and grace in it. So they are different things, and we're focusing more on grace right now, which is the wonderful gift we have of being forgiven by God and being acceptable to God. You know, right where you are today, with all your issues, all your experience, God fully accepts you right now. You are fully accepted as a Christian, as a child of God, right where you're sitting right now. Receive that. You know, God took the initiative to fix the broken relationships in my life. God saved me when I was 17 years old, but he continues to heal me. And it's an amazing journey that I'm on. Do we have Colossians 3:13? Okay. So in recovery, we learn that there are consequences to behavior and that we should set boundaries for people. So if you're in a relationship and you're being abused, recovery is a great place for you to start to learn. You know, maybe you should talk to your sponsor and find out what an appropriate consequence should be to someone that's harming you. You know, the consequence for me when I was being abusive to my family was I got removed from my family. That was an appropriate consequence. You know, my family was then safe from my behavior. So forgiving a person doesn't mean that you forget the wrong that was done, and it doesn't mean that you have to accept it happening again and again. That's the crazy cycle. You know, if you're being abused and it keeps happening and you don't change, the abuse is not going to stop. With God's help, I haven't been in a fight and hit anybody since 2006. You know, it was funny because I grew up in a home where I saw my oldest brother beat up my mom. And I vowed right then and there, I am never going to use physical force to resolve conflict. I made a vow. You know, so God so help me, I will not use physical force to resolve conflict. But fast forward to 2004, and that's exactly what I did. You know, I used force to break up a conflict, and I was wrong. But God has healed that and has repaired that, and I'm so thankful that I figured that out here at CR. We have a C on the fill in the blank. Christ paid the price. And do we have Ephesians 1:7? Okay. It's on the sheet. So if you have really good eyes and you can read Ephesians 1:7 on your sheet, I know they're small. Hopefully we have the same verse. Let's try and read it. Ephesians 1:7. In Christ, we are set free by the blood of his death. And so now, forgiveness of sins. How rich is God's grace. So the wacky thing is, you know, when I do wrong, I don't even have it in me to pay my own price for my own sin. You know, I can't make an animal sacrifice. I can't give God a gift. He sent Christ to pay the price for me, which is just the kicker. So I just have to accept that and trust it and believe on it. And God does the work. So what I've learned in recovery from my own journey is that the old Daniel used to use sarcasm and control and shame and guilt to get what I wanted, when I wanted it, and how I wanted it. And the antidote to that of being critical and controlling is to be affirming and giving. So now in my relationships with my children and my wife, I find them doing something right, and I let them know. I say things like, I love you, and job well done. And I tell my children, I'm so proud of you. These are words of affirmation and healing to counteract all the years of negative talk that I emotionally abuse them with. When you're in recovery, God will take your character defects, shine a spotlight on it, and then give you an antidote So it's never too late to stop your behavior and to start a new behavior. The E in our handout is everlasting gift. Do we have Colossians 1:6 on that one? What do you have on Philippians? Let's read. Okay. There we go, 1:6. And I am sure that God, who began the good work within you, will keep right on helping you grow in his grace until his task within you is finally finished on that day when Jesus Christ returns. 1:6. So as you come into recovery and as you take your spiritual journey, God's working in you. God never gives up on you. You never arrive. I came in the doors of Celebrate Recovery in December of 2004. And I was in 101, and I was sharing the fact that I started recovery in 2004, and a guy said, "Geez, it must not work. You know, I've been here 10 years, and he was expecting that, you know, after 6 meetings, I'd be fixed, and I could check out, and life would be fine. But, you know, the reason I'm here in recovery is that this is a good place to be. This is an affirming place to be, and it reinforces godly principles to me. And if I don't go here, I slip right back into my old way of thinking and doing life. I'll go right back, and I'll probably be worse and more controlling and more shaming. So I come here because it's good for me, and it changes me. So when I receive grace from God, I have a new outlook on life. I don't have to do life as the old Daniel. I can do it as the new Daniel, the new creation in Christ. And so I can be accountable with my brothers in Christ in small group. They can pray for me. I can have a sponsor. My sponsor can affirm me. He can confront me. He can keep me focused on recovery. And these are all very positive things in me. So just kind of summarizing all the thoughts that we've been talking about, all the sharing. You know, grace is really unmerited favor. God has favored us. God has blessed us. God's the one that first gives grace to me. I can receive this gift of grace, and I receive it by faith. I'm totally acceptable by God today, just as I am. Jesus Christ did pay my debt because I couldn't afford to. The grace gift that I receive lasts today and lasts forever. His grace can never be taken away. So I just invite you, brothers and sisters, to receive the truth and let the truth set you free. And may the mercy and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you today. Amen.